1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's look at several verses tonight, if the Lord will help us. Verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For further foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let the church say amen. Father, would you add thy blessing to the reading of your word? Praise the name of the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. May we mind you in the service tonight, and may you truly be lifted up, magnified, and glorified. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for doing what you're doing through us. We love you, and we thank you for being a faithful God. Now continue to do a work, and I pray, God, that Jesus would be glorified. In his precious name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Charity, your parents. I forgot to recognize them tonight. They've been here a number of times, but good to see you, brother and sister, down from Delaware. We're thankful that God has brought you our way one more time. We're preaching our way through this letter from Paul, theming it this way, keeping the church in the world while keeping the world out of the church. Since the last time we preached out of 1 Corinthians, that task has not gotten any easier. As a matter of fact, it is my firm belief that the closer we get to the return of Christ, it will become more and more difficult. We're in the world, but the world doesn't need to be in us. And that is a challenge. A challenge with which we need God's help. We've discussed several things in this letter from Paul. Our first section really deals with the senseless divisions in the church. And the fact that this church of the living God was divided. Christ was not divided, but the church was divided. One was of Paul, the other was Apollos, and the other was of Cephas, and they were identifying themselves with the human instruments instead of identifying themselves with Christ. The last time we were here, we talked about who's who in the work of God, who's who in the ministry. And was it Paul? Was it Apollos? And we were reminded from this passage of Scripture that though one planted and though one watered, God gave the increase. I do want to remind you, beloved, that the work of God is the work of God. We have the glorious privilege to handle the gospel. The glorious privilege to be involved in sharing the gospel. We have the privilege to be a soul winner. And the opportunity to tell people about Jesus, you'll never tell anybody about anything greater than you will about what they just sang about, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. But it is God that gives the increase. You can't save anybody, nor can I. God is in the saving business. And by the way, if you got saved, if you're here tonight, God saved you. Somebody may have told you, somebody may have explained it to you, somebody may have shared it to you, somebody may have placed that literature in your hand, but in the moment you were passed from death into life, and in the moment your dead spirit was recreated and rejuvenated, and in the moment your sins were forgiven, and in the moment the Holy Ghost took residence inside of you, and in the moment again that faith you put in Christ made you a new creature, that wasn't the work of the preacher, that wasn't the work of the soul winner, that wasn't the work of the Christian, that was the work of God. As we move in verse number 9, I'd like to challenge you with this subject, getting involved in the work of God. getting involved in the work of God. Who's who in the work of God? Nobody's a who's who in the work of God. The only one that is somebody is God. We have the glorious opportunity to get involved. And I want to tell you what that looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because Paul is trying to deal with a church that is facing cliques and divisions. And they don't quite understand the significance of their involvement in the work of God. I think about how prestigious it is in our world today to be in some groups. To be a part of some organizations. To be a member of some club or some society. To have graduated from some elite university. To be associated or to be a rank in some branch of the military or to achieve some status in your social life. And I won't tell you those things are great. We certainly don't belittle any of them. But may we not ever overlook the glorious privilege that we have to be involved in the work of God. Something that God is doing, something that God is moving in, something that God is in control of, that you and I can be involved in it. And when a church is full of individuals, begins to understand that each of us can be involved in the work of God. Now listen to me now. When you got saved, it was the work of God. And you're going to heaven. Are you glad about it? You'll never spend one second in a place called hell. Are you glad about it? The Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Are you glad about it? You are a child of the Most High God. Are you glad about it? Oh, the trials come in your life. But once you're saved, you're always saved. The devil can never steal your salvation. Are you glad about it? But wait a minute, that should not be the totality of your Christian experience. You should thrive to be involved in the work of God. Not just in the fact that you got saved, but in the fact that God can now use you to see others get saved. And that God has placed you in not just an organization, but an organism. His agent for worldwide evangelization, his vehicle for the gospel traveling all over the world. The place where Christ is preeminent, this body that was purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not a program, but the program of God. You're in it tonight, the local church. Are you involved in the work of God? You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, and thank the Lord for it. But I want 2020 to be more about what I'm doing for God and not just about what God's doing for me. I want to do something for God. I want to be a Christian that's busy. I want to be active. The truth of the matter is, some spent 2019 doing a lot of things, but very little work for God. You were so overwhelmed. Your schedule was so full. You had so much on your plate, and you forget who allowed you to have it on there. Your stewardship in life grew, and there was more you were responsible for, and more that you were accountable for, and more that you have to do. And meanwhile, the work of God left undone. What have you done for God lately? Getting involved in the work of God. Involved in the work of God. Write these things down tonight rather quickly as God will help us. The work of God. The work of God. I know that God is at work. And I know that He can do anything. Do you? But the fact that I can get involved in it. God could have called me to anything, but He called me to preach. I'm still excited about it. Some of you will get up tomorrow and go to a secular job. And I'm thankful that we have people that are members of this church that have a job. Somebody say amen. We're thankful for that. Not everybody can do what I'm doing. Somebody's got to go to work in the secular world. Not everybody can be a preacher. Not everybody can be a missionary. Somebody's got to go to work. And by the way, I was talking to a Christian the other day, and he was saying that he was teaching in a public school, and some Christians were kind of condemning him. I guess he didn't use that word, but that was at least what I surmised for working in a public school as a Christian. I'm glad that the public school still has some Christian people working in it. Amen. Amen. And well, you say, well, you can't be a Christian like you want to, and you can't say some things, and there are limitations, and the law won't let you stand in front of the classroom and tell somebody about Jesus. No, but if you live Jesus, they'll know who he is. Amen. And eventually God will open the door. Thank God that in the walls of hallways where they're taking the Bible out and taking prayer out, that they've got some men and women that are walking through those hallways and letting their light so shine and sprinkling their salt on somebody. And some of you are going to a secular job tomorrow, and it gets on your nerves, and the people don't understand, and they have ideology that's contrary to this book. But I'm telling you, go there tomorrow and be like Jesus. I want you to look at verse number 9, and I'll call point number 1, functional togetherness. So much of the Bible is encouraging, but I'd like to present to you that this statement in verse number 9 is certainly encouraging. We are laborers together with God. Did you hear that? Now, when you get involved in the work of God, here's what you got to understand. You not only get to work for God, you get to work with God. We are laborers together with God. Fellas, you just sang, but do you realize that when you sing on American Idol, you just sing? Huh? When you sing for God, you're working with God. Amen. I mean, there's some places you teach, you just teach, but you get involved in the work of God, teaching the principles of the Word of God, you're working with God. It is a humbling partnership that God would work with me. Are you listening to me? That God would let me work with Him. Sometimes we think of the work of God, and I'm working for God, and God is working in me, and God is working through me, and God is working around me. But listen what Paul said. We are laborers together with God. This is the work of God, but He lets me work with Him. The humbling partnership, known as the heavenly possession. Although we are working with God, we are God's. We belong to Him. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The humbling partnership that I can work with Him, but the heavenly possession is that I belong to Him. Amen. Aren't you glad He's in control? Amen. We're partners, but He's the controlling partner. The responsibility is on Him. He keeps the ship moving. He keeps this partnership flowing. Ye are God's husbandry. We are God's cultivated field. Ye are God's building. We are God's constructed framework. Listen to me now. We are the field that God is working in, and He's developing us, and He's working us, and He's seeding us, and He's watering us, and He's providing. And I know that there were things that happened in 2019 that didn't go the way you wanted it to go, but how about just thanking God tonight that you've entered a new year as a field of God, and despite all of the weeds, God grew some things last year. His building. He's building us. Amen. Every week He's adding more bricks. He's framing, and He's drywalling, and He's painting, and He's sanding, and He's upgrading. I don't know about you. I want to be a better Christian in 2020 than I was in 2019. That is the work of God. It is a functional togetherness. We're in a partnership, but we are a possession. Thank God that although we are in the work with God, we belong to God, and it cannot go down because God will never go down. Functional togetherness. Let me give you this, and maybe I'll let you go. Just maybe. Functional togetherness, write this down, foundational truth. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. Foundational truths. Well, number one, I have a sovereign assistance, the grace of God. Listen to me, there's nothing in your life that will help you more than the grace of God. We think about the grace of God, saving grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You could not be saved outside of grace. Come on. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. We are all sinners. Amen. All have come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Listen to me. There was no good enough that I could do. There's no work that I could offer God to save me. There was no church baptism that I could dip in that would save me. There was no church membership that I could ascribe to that would save me. There was no kind deed, no money to the poor, no religious activity, no ritual routine that would save me. The reason why I'm saved tonight is because of the grace of God. But I'm glad tonight that God's grace didn't end at salvation. According as God's grace has given to me. Now Paul says, I'm going to give you some foundational truths. Number one, I have received sovereign assistance. Every day God is helping me with his grace. Listen, she just said just a few moments ago, testifying, I would not be here without God. What gets you to church when you don't feel like it? What gets you smiling when you're about to fall apart? What gets you praising him when you're down in the valley? What gets you back in the fight when you feel like you can't go on? It's got to be more than a stress ball or a fortune cookie or a Maya Angelou poem. I'll tell you what keeps you in the fight. The grace of God. The grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Sovereign assistance. He said, according to. I did what I did according to the grace that God gave me. His sovereign assistance is what enabled me to make some structural activity. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. Verse 10. As a what? You looking at your Bible? Verse 10. As a what? Wise master builder. Architect on it is in the Greek. It's where we get the word architect. Paul said it is the grace of God that has enabled me to be an architect, a designer, a principal builder. Is anybody listening to me? The work of God is building business. I'm going to tell you that people that go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and they never get built. Listen, don't you want to go to church where preaching is exciting? I'd like to go to church where there's at least some volume. I'd like to go to church with some people I enjoy being around. I'd like to go to church where the music is inspirational. But could I tell you, if all those things are evident and I'm not getting built up, I can get that without going to church. But Paul says, I am a master builder. Listen. God is enabling my architecture by his grace. I want in 2020, every time you come to Crossroads Baptist Church and you situate yourself on that pew of your choice, and you're here for an hour and a half or so, and the Bible is open and the choir is singing and the offering is received and the fellowship happens, I want you to leave out of here saying, as a building of God, I'm leaving here more built up than I was when I came. If you're in a church and you're not getting built up, you need to find another church. The grace of God. But here I want you to get this year. I just want you to leave here saying, I was built up more. I want you to leave here saying, I'm going to do more building. Because you are an architect. And listen, the work of God is the building business. And I want to ask you in 2019, who'd you build up? Well, Pastor, I was so busy getting broke down. Wait a minute now. You're never going to grow if all you are is getting built up and you're not building anybody else up. As a wise master builder. A wise master. Listen, I'm not just an architect. He says, I'm an architect that has some expertise. I know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing because what I learned from Gamaliel or what I got in my family genes. I know what I'm doing because of the grace of God. And I'm helping people because God keeps helping me. Is anybody, please listen. Is there anybody in your life who right now is trusting you for being built up? If you just quit being a Christian tomorrow, would anybody miss you? Yes, my mama would miss me. My friends would miss me. My daddy would miss me. Well, that's a different reason. Is there anybody's spiritual livelihood that is dependent upon your architecture? Because listen to me. I know enough about God that when you get up tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up with grace. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to spend another year wasting the grace of God on yourself? I need all the grace. I need all the grace I get just to keep me going. I'm going to tell you something. You'd be surprised at how your distribution of God's grace to you to enable you to build up somebody else will keep you going. I'm finding out that God meets the needs of those who meet the needs of others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I've never seen a child of God investing in others that God wouldn't invest in them. He says, I'm a wise master builder. The sovereign assistance of God has enabled my structural activity. But then he said, after me, somebody else came along with some subsequent addition. Please listen. I laid the foundation. There were some people in Corinth that know the Lord because I laid the foundation. I gave them the gospel. I told them about Jesus. I sowed the seed. But there were other preachers and teachers that came on behind me. And they built upon it. Amen. This is the work of God. One of us can lay the foundation and someone else can build upon it. Amen. You're a stronger Christian today than you were 10 years ago, aren't you? Somebody built on that foundation. There are plenty of folks in the building. You don't go to church with the person that led you to the Lord. For some of you, that was years ago. Different states. Some of you got saved in a different country. You remember when you were a new Christian and you're just walking in church? The pastor said, turn to Haggai. You started looking for somebody in the building, didn't know it was a book of the Bible. And by the time you found Haggai, he was closing the sermon. You stopped halfway through and faked like you were in it. Look down. When he said, look at verse 10, you looked down. You weren't in Haggai. No, but you didn't want to be embarrassed. And there were things that went on in the church and you didn't understand it. And you were just there because somebody said, be there. You weren't involved. You're just hanging on to life. Looking for something different, something genuine. And somewhere along the way you got saved. That'd be a good place to say amen. God came into your life and the Holy Ghost took residence inside of you. Somebody laid the foundation in your life. And alongside, God gave you a mentor or a discipler. Or a brother that would help encourage you. Or a sister that would help keep you accountable. Or a Sunday school teacher. Or a youth director. Or somebody that poured into your life. And later you moved and went to a different state and a different job. And got transferred to a different place. And you got married. And you have a family. And today you're a building that is still growing. Because somebody laid the foundation. And somebody added to it. Subsequent addition. I want you to look at two more thoughts. The next statement, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The sovereign assistance is the grace of God. The structural activity is Paul establishing people on a foundation. The subsequent addition is those who now have built on top of that foundation that Paul established. But the serious admonition is take heed. Take heed how you build thereupon. I feel like right in Paul's mind now, he's thinking about some people that when he left Corinth were on the right path. But somebody came along on top of the right foundation that Paul established them on and put some junk on top of it. And so he says, if you want to come alongside and help somebody else that somebody else got established, that's fine. But you better be careful how you build. And I was convicted. One of the detriments sometimes in the work of God is that some people want to teach. They don't have no business teaching. Somebody say, man. Listen, there's nothing wrong with you coming inside and laying bricks on foundation, but if you don't know how to lay bricks, you don't need to be laying them. Amen. Just be careful. One of the grave travesties in churches is to watch a new Christian on fire for God get swept away from the truth by a shyster. Somebody who takes an eager zealous, new Christian, just so hungry. You know, when you're real hungry, you're liable to eat anything. Come on. That's good for people that are cooking who can't cook, because you still make them think they can. But it's bad for you because you might end up consuming something that's not good for you. Be careful how you build. Amen. But also be careful who you let build on you. See, not everybody on the internet is worth listening to. I need more amens. I said not everybody on the internet is worth listening to. Not everybody on the television is worth listening to. Amen. Well, she got some good points. She don't have no business preaching. I like what she says. She's not the right one to be saying it. I'm not a chauvinist. I'm preaching the Bible. Well, they make me feel good. You shouldn't feel good in sin. They're so exciting. Why should sin be exciting in the house of God? And there are people of God who were established on a firm foundation, but they got a raggedy building. And their construction is not a foundational problem. It's a construction problem. They hired the wrong builder. They got to listening to somebody and now they're Calvinists. They got to listening to somebody and now they're questioning the validity of the Word of God. They've got to listening to somebody and now they're off on pure, sound doctrines in the Word of God, and the gifts of the Spirit have been misconstrued and eternal security has been thrown out of the Bible. It didn't start with a desire for heresy. It started with a nonchalant defensiveness to false doctrine. And now you let some unproven carpenter come work for you. You come back home excited about the new upgrades in your house only to find out you don't have no furniture. That joke gonna run off with everything you had. And then you go up there, but he sounded good on the reviews and he looked good on Kelly list and whatever and all of these things. Hey, let me tell you something. You can't have everybody building on you. You can't have everybody showing. You don't need everybody preaching in your head. You don't need everybody to download it on your internet, on your computer. You don't need everybody on your television screen. I don't care how many books they have, how many followers they have. I don't care how up and coming they are in the world. They don't line up with the Bible. Don't let them build on you. Paul says, I give you a serious admonition. And that serious admonition is because of this singular absolute. And it's the next verse. For other foundation can no man lay save what? Jesus Christ. I don't care how good he sounds. If he's building you on anybody but Jesus, he's no good.
Amen.
I don't care how good he sounds. If he's building you on anybody but Jesus, he's no good.
Amen.
Just because the church name says elevation doesn't mean it's going up. It's not going up by church name. It's going up by biblical practices. And I'm not saying what is, but I'm telling you, if it ain't Bible, it ain't going up.
Amen.
Don't be a groupie. Just because everybody else got a cup underneath the Kool-Aid jar doesn't mean you need to put yours there. When everybody said it was sweet, yeah, when they're all dead, you'll wish you didn't drink that Kool-Aid. I've watched them die from full, I'm talking about living physically, but dead spiritually over some lying preacher, some false heresy, some new age doctrine, some prevalent, some wild nonsense where everybody's partying in church instead of worshiping a holy God. You be careful who you let build in on you. Other foundation can no man lay save Jesus Christ. You go out of town, don't go visit some sorry church. Go somewhere where the Bible is preached. Because we're going to learn next week, you're going to give an account for it. You're going to give an account for it. And God's going to talk to you about who you loaned influence in your life to. I'm not telling you I'm the only person that preaches the Bible. I'm just telling you I am one that does. And as your pastor, I love you too much to know that you left this zip code and went into somebody's church that has given a proven reputation of teaching heresy that's contrary to the Word of God. I'd rather you stay home and watch the live stream than to go and take your physical body into a building and listen to a man who does not rightly divide the Word of God. Truth be told, I'd rather you miss church altogether than to be tripping and slipping in a bad one. And I'm troubled by the people of God who got too good of a start in the foundational, superlative, singularly exclusive foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are now running behind people who it doesn't take a master's degree in religious studies to know that some of these people don't preach the Bible. And if your criterion for listening to a preacher is one who manages not to make you feel bad when he preaches while you live in sin, you need to flush that criterion and get your criteria from the book. Paul said, I came in here and you were drunk, man. You couldn't tell the truth, man. You stole from your job, man. You were all messed up. And I came and gave you the gospel. I watched you get saved. And then you came and sat in church. You got scripturally baptized. I watched God change your life. And then I left and went to another church. And now I heard you running after somebody who doesn't preach that Bible that saved you. I'm concerned, he said. He gets to chapter number 11, and I won't get there quickly, but he says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you as a chaste virgin to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you're engaged to Jesus, but you're cheating on him with some gigolo. He didn't say it like that, but that's what he's saying. You're supposed to marry Jesus when you get to heaven. We're not married yet. We're engaged. The marriage is going to happen in heaven. But what fiance engaged to a groom is going to be dating somebody else? Yeah, I espoused you. I hooked you up with Jesus. And now I hear you've been dating somebody else. Other foundation can no man lay, save that which is laid. Jesus Christ. Folks, in these last days, it will be more difficult to spot heresy. But it is worth the extra effort. Ask around. Try the spirits to see what things are so. Be careful about seducing spirits. Philippians chapter 3, they're dogs. Who let the dogs out? God help us. Beware. 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 The tribulation time, one of the gravest destructions of people in the tribulation time will be that of the false prophet, who under the guise of religion is going to fool people so much into lest they were elect, they would be deceived. It is only the saving power of the Holy Ghost of God that he will send a strong delusion. You would think after the rapture that everybody that ever heard anything in a church would get saved. And some people are thinking, I don't have to get saved now. Once I see all my Christian friends fly up in the air, I'll get saved right then. Don't you play with fire. You'll get burnt. Listen to me. The Bible said you will believe a strong delusion. With every logical reason to accept Christ as Savior, you will be tricked. You plan to get saved right now. Don't even wait for me to finish. Go to the back room. We'll send somebody there to you. There's no time to play games with accepting Christ as Savior. This is the work of God. And in these last days, I want to be very serious about it. It's God's work, and he's letting me work with him. I refuse, if I'm working with God, to be also working with someone who's not working with God. It's too dangerous and it's too deadly. And by the grace of God, may all of us take it more seriously. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word. We don't want to fool around with anything. We don't look down on people. We don't belittle people, but we cannot be tolerant to that which contradicts the truth of your word. Please help us. Help us to realize that the whole counsel of the word of God is true, not just bits and pieces of it, mixed in with our own preferences. We do want to serve a God who is more concerned with our relationships than he is our rules. But we do also want to serve a God who, once he gets in relationship with us, expects us to live by some rules. We ought to love Jesus enough to restrict ourselves from anything that would be disloyal from him. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.